And yeah, I still write with other songwriters. I do that probably a couple of times a year. Actually, one of the songs on the album I'm working on right now is a collaboration where I wrote the music and a good friend of mine wrote the lyrics. So that's pretty exciting. And yeah, I'm always looking forward to working with other artists and just doing new creative things and doing things I've never done before too. It's something I love. So I look forward to new projects in the future, hopefully with other people.
WMFO in Medford. You're listening to What's Happening here on 91.5 FM. And we've got two great interviews going on simultaneously in a great mesh, because the gentlemen have been to Chicago. You lived in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
They collaborated with other artists to take their brother's work and make it what it is today and finish his work. And you're doing a similar thing yourself.
Right.
Well, I think when you involve other minds into a creative process, it always enhances it. And it, you know, especially when you're, like, I found when we were working with Dorian and Bill and the other musicians out in Chicago, their ideas were all good ones. And when, you know, it raised the bar, you know, as far as our project and helping to complete my brother's record, and which was originally a group of, you know, a collection of demos that we finished in the studio with instrumentation, as well as six songs that he had recorded in the studio with just him and a fellow by the name of Bill McKay on guitar. And once we added all the, you know, we arranged it and finished off the project and then released it to benefit the Cystic Dreams Fund, a nonprofit organization that was established in my brother's honor to help people with cystic fibrosis. And same with the charity. When we're working with different people, like we just had an event in Arlington that involved Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees as he appeared to meet and greet fans and watch the film Head. And that idea came through a meeting that I had with Antiques Roadshow appraiser Gary Summers, who is a friend of everyone here in the room. And you know, it was just the sparring of ideas that came, you know, really started with one thing, but by the time the finished product came out with the charity event, even, it was something completely different than it originally began with. And it was a great success, and the money raised is going to help out 20 families that wouldn't have been helped without it. So it's you know, the involving good minds into your life and into your project. Artists tend to be sometimes very individualistic, and they you know, I think by nature they're very much individuals, but
they also know a good idea when they hear it too, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you decided to go into film scoring, because, you know, that's a different avenue. I mean, and I've got a great friend of mine here in town who's done many film scores and television scores, Monk Dwayne, but taking and creating, because we've seen it, by, you know, with the former conductor of the Boston Pops, John Williams. Taking somebody else's visuals and creating the music or the sound behind it. Have you always enjoyed doing that?
Yeah, I mean, for as long as I've been studying and doing it, for sure. Yeah, it's a unique challenge. I mean, you know, I should say I enjoy doing it when I enjoy the work that I'm doing it for, like the actual film. Mm-hmm. It's a little challenging, you know, when you get a gig to write for something and you're not super crazy about it, you know, like the acting's not very good or the story itself is not very strong, or I don't know, you know, then it can be a little challenging to really, then it kind of just feels like a job, basically. Which is why I don't do it regularly as my main source of income, because it, like, yeah, it can be hard to find the right people who want to work with you and you actually like really love and respect their work. But when you love and respect their work, or when I love and respect their work, yeah, I totally love and enjoy it. It's really fun. And, you know, a lot of times I'll write something and they'll say like, no, this isn't really what I'm looking for. And if I really love what they do and I love their art, then I don't mind giving it as many goes as it needs, you know, to give them what they're looking for. And it remains fun just kind of trying out different things and trying to get exactly what it is that they're going for. So, yeah, I really enjoy it. As long as I enjoy what they do, then I enjoy writing to it, for sure.
Well, see, it builds your repertoire. Even if it's not what you were looking for, because you never know, your song or your theme or whatever music you create for the picture could still exceed the movie itself. And
like in the spaghetti westerns with the Morricone, how the soundtrack became like, you know,
yeah,
they were the you know, it was a better performance than any actor on screen during those films, you know.
So it's another way to look at it.
Yeah, for sure. No, that's definitely a good point. I think, I think that for me, you know, again, maybe it's because I'm a little bit of a purist, but if I have done work. I have done work for things that I wasn't crazy about, and it just, it felt kind of icky sometimes, you know, because the thing is, like, it's not just that I'm writing for it, but I'm getting paid for it, you know what I mean? So it kind of felt like, oh gosh, I'm just doing this for the money. And I don't, like, I totally respect people who do that. I mean, you have to find some way to make money, obviously, especially as an artist, it can be hard to make money doing what you love to do. But yeah, I kind of realized for me, it wasn't quite worth it if I didn't really like what I was doing, or I should say like who I'm working with, you know, because I guess if I really like the person and maybe I'm not crazy about what they're doing, but I really like them, then I can do it for sure. And I can even enjoy it. But if you don't even like who you're working for and who you're writing for, and you don't really like what they do either, for me, it's hard, you know. I totally have a lot of respect for people who can do it, because it, for me, it's very, very hard to do that.
But it's good that you have your standards, and your standards are very high.
Well, music is, any creation, artistic creation, is very personal. So it's like you're really giving of yourself when you create something. It's like you're giving birth to this new product, this thing that didn't exist before you created it. So it's, you know, if it's, you know, if the reason you're doing it is something that you know, you're not into, or you don't believe in, or, you know, it's hard to get your best work out of it that way for anyone, I would think.
Well, Sarah.
Yeah.
Where can people find you? I mean, other than right here on what's happening in the MFO, where can people find your music?
Yeah, probably the best place is my website, which is sarahaide.com, and that's spelled SARAHEIDE.com. Kind of an unusual pronunciation for my name, but and all the links are there, basically, everything. But Spotify, I have like a Pandora radio station, iTunes, Bandcamp, basically anything. There's probably ways to hear my music that I'm not even aware of, because I use CD Baby, and they're pretty awesome. They just like proliferate your music anywhere and everywhere. So pretty much everywhere, I would say. I'm also, you know, on social media like Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, and all that good stuff. So,
and we hope when you, I know you just moved to Upper State New York, but you know, if you're ever coming back down this way, we'd love to have you in studio to perform. It'd be really cool.
Yeah, I would really love that. And thank you so much for graciously allowing me to call in instead of coming. It was just a little, things ended up being a little crazy. I didn't know I was going to move, actually.
Well, that would have been quite a trip. I mean, you know, whether you were in Chicago or upper state New York, holiday weekend to drive down to Boston.
This is moving weekend. Exactly. That's not a good time to be trying to find parking here.
You know what? I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that is absolutely right. But I would absolutely love to come in. And, you know, my family, they live in Lowell, Massachusetts now. So I actually come, I go at least twice a year, and I usually try to do a show in the area a couple of times a year. So there's plenty of opportunities, and I will definitely reach out and would love to come and play in the studio sometime if you'll have me.
And oh, absolutely. And the good news is I have a show here at WMFO and also at Salem State University. So it gives you double. That's one of the reasons why I was able to bring in the Mooney Brothers, because I had them on earlier and asked them if they'd like to come down and join us here.
Yeah, we're on a radio tour of Eastern Massachusetts.
Yeah, of the coast. Yeah, they're doing the coastal tour.
Hey, that's a good tour. That's so, my kind of tour for sure.
So, how many tracks are you looking at putting on the new album?
There's going to be 8 tracks. Everything is basically tracked, so I don't think that's going to change. I'd be surprised if I somehow go in the studio and do another song. But yeah, there's going to be 8 tracks so far.
Well, please let me know, and if you know you like we did for the music that I've played so far, and I've got a couple more tracks that I can be able to play at both stations, and you want to get them out ahead of time, prior, let me know, because we'll gladly get it on and play the music. I know that it's, I mean, like I said, I think it's really cool to have all these creative minds here, and each working on important projects.
Yeah, well, I will definitely reach out when I have a single ready, because I will be releasing another single. Probably, it's a little ways away, but probably in February. And then I'll be releasing the album in late spring or early summer. And I will definitely send you and your listeners something to play before everything is released.
Well, you know, Shadow's going to be played all over the place.
I hope so. That's the plan.
And so,
as well it should.
Being now, having been in four different areas for music, what is your favorite? And if not having a favorite, what do you like about each one of the scenes? So, you know, Providence, Boston, Chicago, now where you are.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely can't say I have a favorite. You know, where I am now, I can't say much about it because I just moved here a couple weeks ago. And because I'm focusing on my album, I do have a show coming up in October, but I'm not really focused on learning about the music scene here just yet, until my album's a little bit more complete. But yeah, I would say Providence definitely has a special place in my heart, because I feel like that's just kind of, you know, where I was just learning about what a music scene even is, you know. And I think just the thing that I love about Providence is it's kind of a place where bands that are not quite famous yet, but they're kind of getting there, if they can't play in Boston, they'll play in Providence. So I don't know if you know, like, Grace Potter and the Nocturnals, like, just for example, but you know, they were playing in Providence, like, as far as I know, I think they were doing like huge shows in Providence well before they really kind of hit their stride and got big and started playing in Boston. And the thing about that is you'll hear like this great, phenomenal band play just an amazing show, but it'll be in a smaller venue, and you can just get so close and pay like $15 or $10 to see this like amazing band that's not yet famous. And I loved that. It was just I don't think I realized that, but that's what it was. But now, you know, as an adult, I'm like, oh, that's why. I could see, like, these amazing bands. And, yeah, again, it's just Providence is such a creative town. Like, it's just a very unique. It's like the black sheep in the best way, in the best possible way of New England, in my opinion, at least from a musical standpoint. Boston, yeah, you know, it's a college town, so there's just so much music also. And I was mostly attuned to the Berkeley scene just because that's where I was. So I just, you know, got to hear fantastic jazz, like, all the time for free, basically whenever I wanted. And that was really great. I just feel like that was just, in general, it was just so much different kinds of music, like so many kinds of, like, world music and country music, bluegrass, jazz, classical, like, kind of everything. Basically every day there's just something new that I could go to and listen to for free. So that was awesome. And I think Boston has a great folk scene. I wasn't really doing that kind of music. I wasn't really doing the singer-songwriter folk music so much when I was at Berkeley, but now that I'm kind of doing that and I'm starting to, you know, play Boston more in that sort of genre, I'm getting to know that scene, and I think it's just a fantastic, they just have so many great singer-songwriters out there, and it's just a great singer-songwriter scene in general. And then Chicago is just, yeah, like, I forgot who was saying that, because I don't see faces, I just hear voices, but just amazing musicians, like, amazing musicians in Chicago, and I don't know, there's something really special about the Chicago music scene. The musicians are really what make it special to me. It's just like the musicianship, but again, yeah, the kindness and generosity and like just wanting to play music, you know? It's like so much of it is about the music and playing great music, and just, again, some really cool scenes, like this kind of Bloodshot record scene, and there's a great funk scene out there. There's a really good jazz scene. Also, like, jazz, like, improvisational jazz scene out there.
A lot of blues, too.
I can't believe I forgot that. But, yes, there is a very big blues scene there. That is probably the biggest, most important scene in Chicago is the blues scene. So there... I think all three of those places are great, and I'm really looking forward to getting to know the music scene here in the Rochester area, and I've only heard great things about it so far, so I'm sure, you know, next time I'm talking with you guys, I can tell you more about it, but I'm thinking it's going to be pretty great here, too.
Well, I know we lost the Queen of Soul last week.
Yes, we did.
And
yeah.
How did that... and her music affect you?
Huh. Well, you know, I did not listen to much Aretha Franklin, to be perfect. But of course, you know, like, of course I knew of her, and I've heard, you know, her popular stuff, like Respect, of course. And definitely it's like undeniable that she's an amazing singer. And actually just like a week before she died, I played, I'm a part of a wedding band group, kind of a huge, there's like 100 musicians and we all kind of rotate and do weddings. I did a wedding like a week before and we played Respect. And yeah, I was just kind of like, I was just playing, I wasn't singing. But as I was playing it, I was just like, man, you know, I'm really glad I'm not singing this song, because like you just have to have some crazy pipes to do this, and just so much respect for Aretha for the voice that she has. And then also just, it's just such a great song, you know, just playing it. It's fun to play. Like, to me, that's kind of number one. If the song is fun to play, then it's already a good song in my book, as a pianist anyways. So,
well, she's the first woman in Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She had more hit singles than any other female artist.
I did not know that, but I'm not surprised at all.
Gentlemen,
yeah, it's a huge loss.
How do you feel about that?
You know, she died on the anniversary of Elvis's death. and Elvis died in 77, and one thing that I, and they had both had renditions of Bridge Over Troubled Water. They both did wonderful renditions of that song. So that was that was something that I had learned after she had passed, after sort of reading about her and seeing how it tied into the same time that Elvis had passed. But she was, you know, it's a great, it's a huge loss for the music world. You know, she was a legend. So it's, but as George Harrison said, all things must pass. And unfortunately, with Aretha, that was the case.
Well, it's interesting because that was either the day that Elvis passed away, and Aretha passed away on that date. Also, Babe Ruth. I remember it was his birthday or the day he passed away. So you had the King
of SWAT?
The King of SWAT. The King of Rock and Roll. And the Queen of Soul. Now, that's one heck of a lineup.
It's the legends and their...
They all had hits.
Fields. Oh, yeah.
What a cursed day.
They all had hits in their own way.
She was wonderful in the Blues Brothers movie. The scene she did with...
Think?
Yeah, that was great. But just such a unique voice. The song that she did with George Michael that was such a huge hit was a great song too. And then, you know, all the hits that she had and the classic songs that she did were, you know, she was a legend, you know, legendary singer.
Is there anybody out there, Sarah, that you have performed with, you'd like to perform with again, or anybody that you haven't performed with that you'd like to perform with?
That's a good question. Well, I didn't play with him, but I did a show with John Langford, and that was pretty awesome. He's just like such a great performer and songwriter and just such a lovely person. I don't know if you guys know him, but he's an artist on Bloodshot, and I think his band currently is called like John Langford and the Lost Souls. He's also the leader of, or the Four Lost Souls, something like that. He's also the leader of, or he was in the
Mekons.
He was the drummer, and he's also in a band called the Waco Brothers.
Okay,
Brothers. I hope I'm not incorrect about that. But anyways, he's just like, I didn't play with him. We did a benefit show together where we had to write songs about extinct animals, and it was to benefit wildlife conservation, basically. And
which animal was your animal you wrote about?
Oh, I wrote about the passenger pigeon, and I wrote about Martha, who is the last passenger pigeon, and I kind of wrote about her, sort of. So, yeah, and he wrote about an animal called the axolotl, and he has a Scottish accent, so he says, like, axolotl, which is kind of funny to me, and it's actually extinct in the wild, but they do exist in laboratories still. So he wrote about that, and yeah, he's just such a nice guy and just a really great stage presence and he's just like knows how to do that stage banter so well, which I really look up to because I feel like I'm still working on that myself, and just all around great guy, great performer, great songwriter. And we're actually going to do the benefit again this year, so I will get to play with him again.
And where will that benefit? Yeah. Where was it held last year?
It was in Chicago. It's going to be in Chicago again.
That sounds like a fascinating concept, really. I'm gonna Google that for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, so it's actually... So the show that we're going to do this year is going to be at The Hideout, actually. So I'm really excited about that. And the day is called Lost Species Day. It's an actual day. You can like look it up. You can Google it. And my friend, another amazing songwriter who I would also love to play with again, and I've played with many times. Her name is Rebecca And she came up with the idea that we do a show where we all write a song for an extinct species as a way to honor the species, and then all the money will go towards a wildlife conservation society of sorts. Like last year was a Minnesota Wildlife Conservation Society, and this year it'll be a Chicago Wildlife Conservation Society. Yeah, and it was really cool. Like every songwriter wrote a song, and they were all so unique and different. Some were funny, believe it or not.
I can imagine.
Some were able to pull off funny songs about extinct animals, and some were super sad. Mine was very sad and depressing. John's was pretty funny and interesting.
You're trying to raise money. You're not trying to amuse people. So you got sometimes you got to tug at the heartstrings a little bit.
Oh yeah, for sure. But it was good that it was a mixture, because it's like I think people pull out the money, especially when you make them cry and you make them laugh. If you can do both those things, I think winning show. So I provided the tears, and some others provided the laughter, which is good.
Was it recorded?
Yeah, much of it was recorded. I can't say like super professional recordings by any means, but we had a couple of people take some video, and that's on YouTube. If you just look up, if you look up Sarah Ada Passenger Pigeon, that my video will definitely come up. I think this year we're gonna hopefully kick it up a notch and actually get some like real professional audio and video so that we can promote it further in the future, because we plan to do this every year, and maybe even make an album or something like that.
Good idea. Great idea.
Is your music through a record label, or do you self promote your music?
Yeah, I'm just an indie musician. I'm turning the gears of this machine all on my own. So but if there's a record label out there interested, you know, hit me up. I'm all ears.
You said you've got a show coming up soon.
Yeah, I have a show on October 10th. It's in Hilton. It's not in Hilton. It's in Rochester. I live in a little town called Hilton, which is outside Rochester. But the show is in Rochester, New York. And I'm sharing the show with a great songwriter, trumpet player named Dave Chisholm. And that's a daily refresher. It's a venue I haven't actually been to yet, so I can't say much about it, but he invited me to split the show with him. So that'll be my first show in the area.
So you said it'll be what day and what time?
October 10th, I believe from 8 to 10, and at the Daily Refresher in Rochester, New York.
Well, you just promoted it across the world, you know.
All right. Everyone in the world, come to this show. it's gonna be great.
Maybe even to other worlds too.
Hello, Rochester.
Other worlds. So, I would like to make contact with the aliens. Come to my show.
They're listening right now. They're tuning in.
And they won't be extinct. But we'll be back in a minute on What's Happening, the Extended Edition, Part 2. I'm Aaron.
This is David.
I'm Kevin.
And this is Sarah.
I'll be right back in a moment.
But still some soreness.
Well, let's see. You know, this soon after surgery, some pain is pretty normal.
I was hoping to get more painkillers. The first round worked great.
We're being very careful with those now. Prescription painkillers are opioids, same as heroin. It's easy to start taking them, not so easy to stop.
Last year in America, an average of 40 people died from opioid abuse every day. Long-term addiction has become America's newest health epidemic.
So no pills?
Vicky, you're doing great. So let's try these anti-inflammatories, plus your physical therapy. If the soreness doesn't continue to get better, give me a call.
For opioids, the smaller the dose prescribed and taken, the better. Because even a few prescription painkillers can sometimes go a long, wrong way. A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons and the Orthopedic Trauma Association. Visit orthoinfo.org/prescription safety.
This is the city where danger lurks. Today, a new creature walks among us, causing fear, mayhem, and injury.
Stay back, children.
Mommy, I'm scared.
Look out For the dreaded digital deadwalkers, they're not looking out for you. With faces pressed against their little handheld devices, they put all good citizens in harm's way.
Hey, pal. Pardon you.
The digital deadwalkers are multiplying. Until their behavior patterns can be modified, the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons warns all innocent people to stay alert. Better yet, to step up and speak out.
Hey, dude, I'm walking here.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
A public service message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, who want to keep everyone well connected with healthy bones.
Welcome back to What's Happening, the extended edition, second edition. I'm Aaron.
This is Kevin.
And this is David.
This is Sarah.
So, Sarah, we don't want to keep you too long. I know you have a lot of other things to do, but we appreciate you coming on. Look forward to more of your music and having you back on and having you in studio sometime very soon.
Yeah, well, thank you so much again for having me. This was really fun. I really enjoyed hearing all the stories and from others about Chicago and having some flashbacks already. And this was really great. And I definitely look forward to doing this again and coming in studio next time.
Absolutely. We look forward to it, too. And look forward to the next single, the new album, and your upcoming shows. And again, we want to thank you, Sir Ada, for coming on, and I'm going to play your music like crazy.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thanks,
really
Sarah. Nice to meet you. We really enjoyed your songs, and good luck with the
album. I loved your stuff, too. Yeah, it was great.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you at the hideout.
Have a great weekend. Yeah, come to the hideout. Right. We'll have a great
Labor Day. We'll have a pap.
You too. You too, Sarah.
All right,
thank
Sarah.
You.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. That was Sarah Ada calling from Upper State New York. Great music.
She was very talented. Very, very, very good writer. Very good player. Excellent singer. I'm really looking forward to hearing the final version of her album. It's going to be fantastic. If it's anything like what we just heard, it's going to be a solid album.
I like having you gentlemen here to help too, because I've never been to Chicago.
You should go.
It's a great.
It's a
place.
Long walk.
you got the wheels. You just. If you love music, which I know that you do. You'll never run out of bands to see, and it's a great town. It's a town that, it's a vacation destination. People generally from right here don't think about because it's not necessarily a beach resort or New York, or it's kind of flies under the radar a little bit. But it's got everything that you need for a good time. It's got shopping. It's got the lakes, and of course. The great music, although they've had a little bit of issues with violence lately on the south side.
Well, now, the greatest answer to that was done on Saturday Night Live by Gilda Radner. And she was playing Emily Latella, who was, community member who comes in and does her short time on the show. What's this I hear about violins? They play beautiful music.
Yeah.
It's violence on television. Never mind.
Yeah, we got to get rid of those violins.
Yeah, the violins are just, stringing us along. But got another great song by your brother. And we talked about it earlier. It's called Terminal, but it's Terminal in a different manner than what people would think.
It's a play on words. It's obviously he had a terminal disease. Cystic fibrosis is a terminal disease. It's fatal. And the song is about how he met his friend Kim, who's also from Boston, and she was out in Chicago on a vacation, I guess, and they visited. They got together, and they both had this common thing in their bond where they both had cystic fibrosis. And the story is told in the song about how he meets her and in the subway or the in the subway terminal, and he's never seen her before, and they, it's just kind of this magical meeting of these two people that cared greatly about each other and had a lot in common, and were great friends, and they had, and then we included it. It was a song that was included on the CD, Because of a Woman by Paul Justin Mooney. And of course, every copy of the CD that's sold through CD Baby or iTunes or any of the other many online stores, the proceeds benefit the Cystic Dreams Fund, www.cysticdreamsfund.com, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that assists individuals and families affected with cystic fibrosis, www.cysticdreamsfund.com. But the song is Paul performing with musician Bill McKay, and it's a very beautiful song, and I hope you enjoy it. And the song is called Terminal.
I was kind of scared of you till I met you in the terminal one day. I had a suntan and your lips were rosy, but I knew you were my sister just the same. You said you'd see me again, and I know that's just a way of talking, and I appreciate the sentiment, my friend. Yes, and the coffee. Well, you didn't know it, 'cause I'm a no good animal, but I stopped and turned and watched you walk away. You look so fine, I swear it must have been your baseline, 'cause I thought I'd try and take the CTA. But under Jackson Street, an old man smoked at me. I looked at him, he must have been blind. Rain in every game, but I made it anyway. Say, there's your famous change in paradigm. It died, it died, it died. Well, it was a red moon, but it was snowing, and it blew so hard that you could hardly breathe. Come the summer, they say there will be another, and I hope it's everything it's supposed to be. And I know you're not in the line. Everybody has to die, even though that is the only rule. Just can't see it happening to you. And I know it gets hard at times, and everybody has to die. That's no different than it used to be. But why the hell's it happening to me? Yeah, that's no different than it used to be. But why the hell's it happening to me? Hey, now what did you do? Boys at the Lakeview, did you send them on their way? Did you say last call? Did you sell their disco ball? Did you even give them all their pay? Now dear, no more Larry with his surfing guitar. No Kathy swearing, Mike is sleeping on the bar. I know everything changes and the world must move along, but tell me, who the hell will sing my favorite song? All the boys way. Did you give them one more chance? Did you have a farewell fight underneath the Christmas lights? Did you give Raoul a goodbye dance? Now there's no more Gilbert with a mohawk on his head. No more meat waitresses that look like they're dead. I know everything changes and the world must move along, but tell me, who the hell will sing my favorite song?
and I've been told that kind of guy wouldn't even harm a flea. But if me and a certain character met, well, the one that invented that cigarette, well, I'd murder that son of a gun in the first degree. I sing smoke, smoke, smoke that cigarette. Puff, puff, puff it till you smoke yourself to death. St. Peter at the Golden Gate, you just hates to make him wait, but you've got to have another cigarette. So what will rise in place of the good old Lakeview? Just some more condos straight from hell. Came to see the boys at home, drinking whiskey on their own, counting time and singing to themselves. Now there, no more Larry with his Dick Dale guitar. No cat is wearing my get leaping on the bar. I know everything changes and the world must move along, but tell me who the hell will sing my favorite song? Sing my favorite song. Cause Raoul no longer sing my favorite song, which is "And Now I Know My Love Was Not For You." And so I take it back with a sigh for pity, just one goodbye.
Welcome back to What's Happening, the Extended Edition Part 2. I'm Aaron.
And this is Dave.
This is Kevin.
And you are the Mooney Brothers. And we just heard two great tracks from Because of a Woman by Paul Justin Mooney.
Yes, yes. Well, Paul was our brother, and Paul had cystic fibrosis, which is a genetic disease that affects all the major organs, but it especially is devastating to the lungs because it causes scarring of the lungs and makes breathing very difficult for people who have the disease, and it's a really bad disease, and its lifespan tends to be nowadays into the 30s and 40s. So it's when he was diagnosed back in the 1970s, the doctors at Boston Children's Hospital said that he wouldn't live to be 20 years old. So he ended up living to a ripe old age of 44, and he was quite a talented guy. He attended the University of Iowa Writers Workshop, which is a very exclusive writing program. Most, if not everyone, that attends the University of Iowa Writers Workshop ends up writing professionally in one way or another. And he had a career as a teacher and a writer. Was given a Michener Fellowship, which is a very, very exclusive award, to write his first novel. He was a very sick man through most of his life, and as he approached his late 30s, he realized that writing a novel wasn't really a project he could get involved with it anymore, because he knew his life was very limited, or could end at any moment. One bad infection would be the end of his life, and he was put on a donor list to receive a lung transplant, which he eventually received at the University of Pittsburgh to have a double lung transplant. And he began to change his focus of creativity from writing books to writing poems and songs, because they're things that could be started and completed very quickly. And he could express himself and use the medium to handle the anxiety and the pain that he was dealing with, living with cystic fibrosis. And he went into the recording studio with a friend of his from Chicago named Bill McKay, who's a fantastic guitarist, and they put down the tracks for six songs that Paul had written, mostly about his dealing with the disease cystic fibrosis and his life. Shortly after that, he passed away. And my brother, who's with me in the studio, Kevin, while we were out in Chicago packing up his belongings, cleaning up his apartment, you know, it was very somber, a lot of memories. We discovered, you know, the tapes and the recordings that he had made, which we had no idea that he had done. And we listened to them. We were just blown away by it. These were not little doodles or little half ideas. These were completed songs recorded in a studio with a, you know, professional backing, although stripped. And, you know, we wanted to know more about it, so we found out who he played with and looked him up and got to know Bill. And the recording studio was a place called the Strobe Studio in Chicago. We got to know the engineer and the owner of the studio where he'd recorded the record. And we cataloged the music that he had, that he'd left behind. And, you know, there was six songs that were recorded at the studio. And there was, I'd say, another six that he had pretty good versions that he had done through home recording with just him and an acoustic guitar. And we brought those into the studio, and they could clean them up a little bit and take out some of the noise. And we brought back Bill to play guitar on the record. And we also invited a person named Dorian Taj, who was a fantastic musician, electric guitarist, who was a member of the punk band Articles of Faith, which was a huge punk band in the 80s in Chicago, and really, you know, they toured the country and in Europe, and they're featured in the feature film American Hardcore, and they've been influences on everyone from, you know, Black Flag to you know, Smashing Pumpkins, and they were in the punk world, they were as big as you could get back in the 80s, and he was a very talented member of that band, and he agreed to perform on the record. He liked my brother, and my brother was a big fan of his, and he kind of dug the idea of making this record. He liked the songs. So we put together this band of basically a classically trained guitarist who studied at Berkeley with a punk musician, and my brother, who was a poet and a writer, who had made these songs, and myself, who I can play piano a bit, and my brother's a drummer, and we went into the studio and we finished the record, put the backing on the record, arranged the arrangements behind his singing and his guitar playing, and that's what we eventually came up with. And we packaged it and released it about a year, a little more than about a year after his death. And once we did that, we decided the money that we raised from the record we would give to another person with the disease who needed financial help. And we sold about 100 copies. We raised 1,000, a little more, and get made, you know, helped out a few families with grants. And it just kind of got the ball rolling towards a different idea, which was to start a charity that could help families that were impacted with cystic fibrosis. The average cost of a family with a child with cystic fibrosis out of pocket is about $15,000 a year in out of pocket medical expenses, travel, special foods, anything that's needed to care for an individual with cystic fibrosis, a child. For an individual like my brother, who was an adult, someone in his position was too sick to work, so he's on disability, so he's having a hard time just paying the bills and staying afloat. So the need was there to help people with the disease, and Paul understood that, and as family members, we understood that too. So we started to reach out to people we knew, and we started to receive donations to help these families. And the families started to contact us with requests for help. And that's how the Cystic Dreams Fund was born. We didn't spend any money on advertising. We networked through cystic fibrosis clinics and the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. They have a program called Compass that directs cystic fibrosis patients who are in need of different services to providers, and we became a provider. And we started to hold events, musical events, to raise money for the charity. And in fact, we just had an event last month, which you attended, Aaron, at the Regent Theater, that featured Monkees drummer and lead singer Mickey Dolenz through the New England Northeast Comic Con, Gary Summers, and our partnership with the Comic Con and with the Regent Theater. We were able to have a successful event that entertained a lot of people, and and eventually raised enough money to help out about 20 different families with grants that we will help out from now to the end of the year. So if you want to learn more about our events, you know, the best place is www.cysticdreamsfund.com. If you'd like to help, there's information on how you can help. If you want to help with an event or volunteer or donate money, if you have cystic fibrosis and you're in financial help or you need help with a copay or looking into lung transplantation and need out-of-pocket expenses in order to stay alive, then we want you to contact us because we want to help. And that's www.cysticdreamsfund.com. The music that we're playing from Because of a Woman is available on CD Baby and iTunes and Amazon. All of the proceeds from the CD and downloads go towards the Cystic Dreams Fund, and those proceeds go to help individuals and families with cystic fibrosis. We're an all-volunteer organization. We're made up of a volunteer board. There's, you know, we're grassroots, but we are really, since our inception, we've helped out over 100 families, and we hope to help out many, many more in the future.
Which is above and beyond.
And it's through the power of his music that got the ball rolling, it was his passion to help people with the disease, and he was able to, being a person of, he was in his 30s, late 30s, early 40s, he had been through the grind more than most because he was older than most of the kids who have the disease, and he was able to help them ease their anxiety when they had an infection or were facing a medical situation they were unsure about, and they appreciated that, and it felt like almost a natural progression after Paul passed to carry on his desire to help these families that we share so much in common with, who have relatives and have with cystic fibrosis, and we've been able to find so many companies and sponsors and people that have helped. That have, it's like even with the Mickey Dolenz event, we had 50 different companies donate to our silent auction in Greater Boston, which was just fantastic. And Gary Summers from Northeast Comic Con was instrumental in making that event happen. What a great guy. And Leland Stein from Regent Theater rolled the red carpet out for us and welcomed us. And, you know, without those two, we wouldn't have had that event. And, of course, Mickey was fun, too.
Without Mickey, you just would have been showing a movie.
It was a pretty good movie, though.
It was a very good movie. The Mickey was very personable. I mean, there didn't even get a chance to finish the line of people who wanted to ask questions because Mickey answered thoroughly. I mean, he was asked one question, you know, what are your favorite top 10 songs? And he's like, I can't give you. I have too many. And thanking everybody who helped create the monkeys, and thanking Jack Nicholson, getting together with him, and then all of a sudden Jack takes off for a while, comes back with his ideas and his concept, and I did have the opportunity. We had a not this past Celtics Lakers championship playoffs, but the one years back, I had been able to get into the game early, and Jack Nicholson was sitting over there. And, you know, you just like many other people, you see that, you know, you expect them to be, you know, standoffish or not want to talk to you or anything. And went over, talked to him for a few minutes. Very, very nice. As soon as I left, every reporter in the place went after him. But it was just to say, and now also, you know, one of the writers of the movie Head, but he was also Jack Nicholson, and, you know, Mickey Dolenz. I mean, it just really is cool.
And the movie is it hadn't had many screenings of that magnitude ever, really. It was when it opened up in the late 60s, it did barely last long in the theaters. It box office was very low, and they've had screenings throughout the years, but this was a major screening of that event, to have Mickey of the Monkees there, and 50th anniversary to be part of the Comic-Con, the Northeast Comic-Con, and you know, Monkees fans were I think they were just so appreciative, and I knew they would be, because I saw Mickey in Beverly at the Cabot Theater last year, and I was chatting with this girl, and she said that, oh, I know the keyboard player, and then I started talking to him, and they were all so nice, and I said I'm with a charity, and I just thought, geez, it'd be nice to have Mickey Dolenz do an event for us. Look at how happy these people are. I mean, he just creates so much joy, and they were very encouraging, and I met Mickey, and he said, oh, yeah, I do these things all the time, and so he told me to get in touch with him. Or is his assistant, Jody. And that's when I met Gary from the Comic-Con. Gary Summers has known him for years, and they've worked together on events. And I got involved with Gary, and Gary decided that, you know, why don't we just have you be one of our charities in the Comic-Con? And he has other charities that he helps, and he's a very charitable man. And we became the exclusive charity for that event at the Regent Theater that night, and I think he had a different charity at the Boxborough event, but you know, so he handled a lot of the negotiation with Mickey.
And it was Mickey's charity, Make-A-Wish.
Mickey is very involved with Make-A-Wish Foundation, and a lot of his events he donates proceeds to Make-A-Wish. But he also does things for LA Police Department, and he's starting to branch off into different things, but Make-A-Wish is his that's his major charity that he's working for, and he raises a ton of money for him.
Let everybody know again where they can find your brother's music, and also where they can find the organization.
So the music, Because of a Woman, that's Paul Justin Mooney, is that's his solo album, can be found at CD Baby or on Amazon or iTunes. You can purchase a CD or a download. And he also has a song that's available on a compilation album called John Prime. It's the Postman, and it's a compilation of John Prime songs done by Chicago artists. And he covered the song Illegal Smile along with Janet Bean from a band called Freakwater. That album benefits the Cystic Fibrosis National Trust, and Paul's album Because of a Woman benefits Cystic Dreams Fund, which is the charity that we established in his honor back in 2010.
Well, I want to thank both of you for a full day of great talk, great music, and thank you for everything that you and your family are doing, and all the contributors, and Gary and Mickey Dolenz, and there's an event coming up in Beverly.
There's a big CF event coming. This isn't our event, but from a different organization. Flight for CF is hosting a air show at the Beverly Airport Saturday, the 8th and the 9th. It's a full day of fun and entertainment, and the proceeds for that event raised that day will benefit the research done by the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. So and hopefully we'll have more events in the future, maybe more musical events. It was great to involve the music community and the business community around Boston. They were wonderful, and we are very appreciative, and it's going to enable us to help out a lot of people.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and coming on and bringing us the music. We're going to go out with Stranger at My Door.
This is from Paul Justin Mooney's album, Because of a Woman, Stranger at My Door.